Ephesians chapter 5, and begin reading, please, in verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, you notice verse 17, there's a, what's the punctuation into verse number 17 there? Isn't that a comma? My old eyes sometimes, I think it's a comma, isn't it? So actually, when we read verse 18, we're only reading part of a sentence. Isn't that true? And a lot of times that's where we start, so let's start where we ought to. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that incredible that this matter of understanding the will of God or the will of the Lord, if we want to be wise and understand what that is, comma, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And here we have an encouragement to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you want to know the will of God, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. If you want to know the will of God, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You young people that are making life-changing decisions, do you know if you have to learn to be honest with yourself. There's times in your life when you are in a position to make hard decisions, and there's times when you should not make life-changing decisions. And listen to me, you cannot discern the will of God and be carnal. If you're carnal, you're not in a position to discern the will of God. Now, you can fuss with your preacher and argue with me, and you can say, nobody knows but me, but all of those statements are proof that you're not in a position. It's just carnal statements that proves that you're in no position to make a decision. Don't make decision. I can imagine a young man making a decision about who he's going to spend the rest of his life with while he's backslidden, while he's carnal, while he's not spirit-filled. You know how dangerous that is? Trying to decide on what job or career or college he's going to and be not filled with the Spirit of God. This is huge, folks. This is important. And so listen very carefully what the Bible's encouraging us here. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is, comma, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Why? Because when the flesh is in control, then you know what? The will of God, you're going to make poor decisions. But if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be able to discern the will of God. Wait a minute, the sentence still isn't finished. And matter of fact, we're going to go all the way down to verse 21 to finish out this sentence. But notice this. Right after it talks about the importance of being filled with the God, then it says, with Spirit of God, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I'm not going to teach all the way through all of this, but I contend with you that all of these things, if you took it down and wrote it out and wrote the steps out there, it will take you from a desire to find the will of God, fulfill the will of God, and give you the ingredients that will help you to do so. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about this subject, 7 Bible facts about music. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd meet with us. Lord, I just want to be a blessing, Lord, in this mixed up, upside down world where the Bible says oft times bitter is called sweet and sweet is called bitter and right is called wrong and wrong is called right. And it's confusing, Lord. And sometimes we just need to get away from everything and sequester ourselves alone with the Bible and say, God, help me to know what's right. Let me establish some foundational principles so that I don't end up, even in my sincerity, going astray. So I pray that you'd educate us a little bit about music and your intent and your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me give you a Bible fact number one. 7 Bible facts about music. Number one, the fullness of the Spirit produces a heart's desire for the right kind of music. The fullness of the Spirit produces a heart's desire for the right kind of music. It says here, be filled with the Spirit. And right after that, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, let me just give you something that's going to work way beyond just helping you discern the right kind of music. One of the most important doctrines that I'm afraid us Baptists have been scared away from because of the misuse of this doctrine is the doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, I guess if I could ask you to do anything, say, Brother Jerry, that sounds like something for missionaries or preachers or evangelists. No, it's for every Christian. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and you have been since the day you were saved. But that does not mean that you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the filling is a product of surrender. The filling is a product of sanctification, of turning the reins of your life over from your hands to the Lord's hands, and asking the Spirit not just to reside in you, but preside over what you're doing, what you're thinking, to be in control of you. And that's something that ought to be prayed for and sought for, and ought to be evaluated often, not once a day, but many times a day. Lord, Holy Spirit, am I having your mind on this? Holy Spirit, I need your mind on this. Holy Spirit, I need your directing on this. And so the Holy Spirit of God, and the seeking of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, and surrendering to the control of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, the first thing that you'll find that He will adjust in your life and want to rearrange in your life and want to change in your life is your music. Is your music. I'm talking about somebody that gets serious about wanting to be filled with the Spirit, controlled with the Spirit, and dictated by the Spirit. One of the first things He will bring up in your life and confront you with is your music. I'm going to show you why that's true as we develop these 7 points. Now, a lot of times what happens is somebody goes to a revival meeting, or they go to a service like this, and you may at the end come to an altar and say, yes, it needs to start with the Spirit fullness, and we seek the Holy Spirit's fullness and control in our life, and then we don't like the first thing He wants us to change, so we forsake that, go back to our carnality. You know why? Because we don't want to give up our wrong music. We don't want to sacrifice that. And that's huge, by the way. It's not some small issue off to the side, folks. It's not some little hobby horse that a handful of independent fundamental Baptists just won't let go of. It is, and directly follows, the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. You know why? Because you can say, I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You can gain the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But the thing that will most quickly cripple His effect in your life is listening to the wrong kind of music. I'm going to show you that that's true. You see, we want God's Holy Spirit. I want you to help me find my mate for life. I want you to help me make these important decisions of life. And He says, fine, here, let me help you. First of all, so that I can have clear communication, I need you to get rid of your... I don't want to get rid... Don't stop bringing up the music. I'm not talking about music. I'm talking about I want to know what college I'm going to. I want to know whether... all right, I'm going to help you with that. And I want to be able to communicate, but I need you to deal with the... I don't want to hear about the music. Well, you're just going to be stuck right there till you fix something. Okay? This isn't my number one. This isn't number one on my list. Matter of fact, if you look at all the things I preach on, it's way down. I'm just saying it's, according to this portion of Scripture, it seems to be number one on the Holy Spirit's list. Don't leave here saying it's my hobby horse. I think it's His hobby horse. Amen? And so I need to reach. I'm talking about kids that have gone all the way through our Christian school. I'm talking about kids that are in our Christian school that still want to dabble and play and sneak around, and there's nothing wrong, and there's nothing wrong, and there's nothing wrong. How you doing? Tell me about the last supernatural moment you've had in your life. Tell me about the last time that you could look back and say, you know what, I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Tell me about the last time you read your Bible and wept over what you read because the Holy Spirit was so close and He was tutoring you and opening it up to you and you were understanding it like you never... Listen, folks, if you have a crippled relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, it hinders every area of your Christian life. He is the member of the Godhead that resides in you. He wants to influence you. He wants to control you. He wants to empower you. And so I'm just encouraging you to confront this. Listen, this is not a battle between me and you. This is a battle between you and the Holy Spirit. I'm stepping out of it. I may be the voice that is letting you know what the Scripture says, but this isn't between me and you. This isn't between you and your parents. This is between you and God. And so, number one, the fullness of the Spirit produces a heart's desire for the right kind of music. If I see a kid that has a strong desire and is involved in the wrong kind of music, don't try to convince me you're Spirit-filled, because you're not. Because one of the products of being Spirit-filled is that you enjoy, you're enamored with, you're drawn to the right kind of music. Okay? Number two, let's move on. The right kind of music slams the door on demonic influences. The wrong kind of music opens the doors to demonic influences. Now, let me have you go to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Again, we're going to rush through a lot of scriptures and just kind of hit them. So I think it's Wednesday night Bible study, amen? So it's probably appropriate that we would be looking at a lot of Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And let's look at verse number 22, 1 Samuel 16, 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, that David took an electric guitar and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. I don't think it says that. That David took a harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, let me just help you. I don't have to be a music expert to be able to read the Bible and understand what it says. I thank God that I'm just simple. I thank God I'm simple enough just to read the Bible and say, Saul was having trouble with evil spirits. So he brought in the right kind of music, and guess what? It slammed the door on him. And by the way, if the right kind of music slams the door on evil spirits, the wrong kind of music opens the doors to evil spirits. And so I mean this, folks. Listen to me. Don't underestimate the devil. Brother Jerry, I can listen to this kind of music and that kind of music, and you know what? The devil doesn't mess with me. There's no, you're fooling yourself. You're deceived. You see, there's certain demonic influences. And the devil can't control your life unless you invite him in, unless you give him a foothold. And the honest truth is, and some of you, I'm not telling you you're a wicked, evil person. I'm telling you, you are opening your home and you're opening your life to a certain amount of demonic influence by allowing yourself and okaying in your mind that you can listen to evil music. And I'm going to tell you what it is. Brother Jerry, how do you know what's right and how do you know what's wrong? I'm going to show you what the Bible says. But you open yourself up. This isn't a minor thing. Amen. And right kind of music slams the door on demonic influences. The wrong kind of music opens the door to demonic influence. 1 Samuel 16, verse 23. All right, let's move on. I've got to cover quite a bit. Number three, you need to understand this. The flesh and the spirit, and I'm talking about your flesh and the Holy Spirit and your reborn spirit. The flesh and the spirit are at war. The flesh and the spirit are at war. I'm going to show you that this is true. Music that ministers to the flesh hinders the spirit, and music that ministers to a man's spirit helps him defeat the flesh. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 32 real quickly. Exodus chapter 32. Again, I just want to try to give you some foundational truths, and then we're going to get into some more specifics. Teach you some very practical things, I think, in upcoming weeks concerning using music as a tool of discipleship, the importance of music, A lot of things going on around here that's related to music. Matter of fact, there's very few things that we have where music's not involved. That's not by accident. That's by design. That's important. That's huge. And I'll share a little bit more of the specifics with you on that. Number three, I said the flesh and the spirit are at war. The flesh and the spirit are at war. Music that ministers to the flesh hinders the spirit, and music that ministers to a man's spirit defeats the flesh. Now, let me take you to Exodus chapter 32 and look if you will. And boy, there's a lot of things that we could read about here. But notice this. Let's look in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down. By the way, Moses was on the mount. He was receiving the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and the law of God. Verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, get thee down, for thy people which brought us out of the land, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. By the way, land of Egypt there. Put a little star by that. Have corrupted themselves. Have corrupted themselves. Now, let's continue to read. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the what? Land of Egypt. Now, we go on, and it says this, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people bold as a stiff-necked people, therefore let me alone. And we go into this conversation between Moses and God, where God is wanting to destroy the Israelites. Folks, listen to me. Again, this is no small issue. Whatever's happening down here has so infuriated the Lord that he says in the next few verses, let me wipe them out, and I will use you as I did Abraham and start again with one man and build a nation from you. I think whatever's happening down here, I don't think, can I just offer this? I don't think he's for it. I mean, I'm really going out on a limb here. I don't think God's excited about it. I don't think it's acceptable. I don't think he said, well, isn't that wonderful? Now watch this. Let's move on down, okay? Let's look in verse number 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written on both sides, and on one side and on the other side. On the other were they written, and the tables were the work of God, and the writings was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. Wow, that's incredible. I'd like to talk to you about that, but we got to teach on what we're teaching. Verse 17, and when Joshua... Now notice this. Moses says, get down. And I don't think he was saying, get down. Okay. I think that's what some churches are hearing when they read this. Say, well, the Lord told Moses to get down. That's what we do every Sunday morning, get down. You know, that's not what he's saying here. A little confusion there, a little misinterpretation going on. Maybe in an NIV it does say that. I don't know. So, to check here. He told him to go down. Then he stops him before he goes down and says, I got a better deal. Why don't you just stay up here and let me wipe him out and I'll just start over. And Moses intercedes for Joshua, for the people of Israel. And by the way, Moses and Joshua are together. Now, Moses starts down the mountain, okay, and he's carrying the law of God. And the first thing that is mentioned is they are descending the mountain. And by the way, there's the law first mentioned. There's an order that God allows things to be presented in the Bible, and it's on purpose. The first thing that's mentioned is not Joshua saying, hey, look, I can see the calf. I can see the dancing. I can see the nakedness. That's not what's first mentioned here. If you'll notice in verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Now, he heard from a distance, and we're going to develop this and see what this is. You say, well, it's shouting. Well, it is. There's some hollering and screaming going on down there. It's hollering and screaming in such a way that from a distance, when you first get close enough with an earshot, whatever is producing all of this noise sounds like war is going on. It's kind of like when I'm out in my front yard of an evening and about a mile away down the road, I can hear war coming. What is that? And pretty soon it gets closer and I recognize that it's not war. Okay, it's just somebody that's hip-hopping down the road. Okay, now stay with me here. And it says, verse number 18, and he said, it is not, and he said, talking about Moses, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. It's interesting. So the first thing that's mentioned, Moses got the law, they've corrupted themselves, get down there. The thing that's mentioned first is the music. Now, why would God mention the music, the singing that sounds like screaming and shouting, the music that sounds like war? Now, folks, I don't have to be a rocket scientist. I don't even have to draw conclusions. If you got a half ounce of sense, you've drawn already the right conclusion. They weren't singing Amazing Grace. That wasn't our church choir down there. That wasn't congregational singing at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It wouldn't have been mistaken for this. And so what we've got here is we've got this singing, and it's brought forth to the front first. And notice verse 19. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf. So there's the golden calf. There's the idol, the idolatry, and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mountain. He took the calf which was made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Moses later on, by the way, let me just read verse 25. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. You read this description, you say, Brother Jerry, what is that like? What was going on? I'll tell you what it was like. I'm not encouraging you to go there, but if you go to any honky-tonk or any nightclub, you have the same exact thing that you see right here. Yes, sir. And what was the driving force behind the problem? It was the music. It was the wrong music. Now what I'm telling you is this, the flesh and the spirit are at war. Music that ministers to the flesh hinders the spirit, and music that ministers to a man's spirit helps enable him to defeat the flesh. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that powerful? You see, so here we have them dancing around this calf. We've got a lot of independent fundamental Baptists deciding to dance around the golden calf of the world. And buddy, woe unto you if you point out that their golden calf, or you tack their golden calf, or you preach against their golden calf. You see. And what's happening here is that we've got a situation where they are, let me tell you what exactly, say, Brother Jerry, where did they learn this? Where did this come from? Where did this music come from? Well, they were just delivered out of the what? The land of what? Can I tell you something? This was a worship service that mimicked the Egyptian style worship. This was an Egyptian style worship service. This is exactly what they saw in Egypt, what they experienced, what was a regular and routine thing. Idol worship, wrong music, nakedness, fornication, dancing, golden calves. That's all Egypt stuff. By the way, that's where it ought to stay, in Egypt. Now, well, I think it's of God. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If you'll turn your music down just for a second and listen real carefully, you can hear the tablets of stone that contain the law of God shattering in the background. Amen. Amen. Isn't this good? You see, well, you guys, you preach again, there's nothing in the Bible. Yes, there is. I get so tired of hearing people say there's nothing in the Bible against this. Yes, there is. If you want to see it, it's there. If you just want to listen to what you want to because your flesh likes it, then you're not going to see it no matter what, how many verses we show you. But I'm telling you that it's important because this is what's hindering the power and the empowerment of the local assembly is that we are so filled with Egypt ways and Egypt mindsets and Egypt music and Egypt carnality, and then all of a sudden we show up on Sunday in this carnal state and want to see the power of God fall. Well, maybe if the preacher just preached better, then we'd see more people say. Maybe if the people start listening to the wrong kind of music, we'd see people say. Maybe we'd stop playing games. Maybe if we had some 19, 20, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, graduates of this school that go out their trucks and their cars and actually clean out that mess and get right with God, maybe the power of God would fall. I'm not putting y'all in the same boat. I think there's a lot of you in here doing right. But if you're not listening to right, if you're listening to the wrong kind of music, I'm telling you, you're not doing right. You're mimicking what's going on here, and it's going to lead you to the same foolishness that we saw right here. Amen. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I want to read these scriptures because it's important that you understand that there is something that's happening in the spiritual realm that you may or may not be aware of. There's an effect. There's an effect that's happening in your life. And I think in the life of the church. I said the flesh and the spirit are at war. Where do you get that, Brother Jerry? Notice this. Galatians 5:16. This I say then. 5:16. This I say then. Walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, isn't it interesting? These are two opposite things. Folks, the Holy Spirit must work in a spiritual environment, in a spiritual situation, and he communicates through the spirit, the reborn spirit of a man. The Holy Spirit never has communicated with your flesh. He can't communicate with your flesh. He communicates with your spirit. It is the spirit, large S, that beareth witness with our spirit, small s, that we are the sons of God. He communicates through your reborn spirit. That's how he talks to you. That's how he controls you. That's how he has sway in your life. So he says, walk in the Holy Spirit, walk in the Holy Spirit, capital S, that you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth. And that word, look it up, it literally means warreth, lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Then it goes on and says, now the works of the flesh. You want to know what the flesh is talking about? Study this on down. But I want to just point out this, be real careful here. Because see, what happens is, if you listen to carnal music and you listen to music that excites and empowers and strengthens the flesh, what it does, it diminishes the possibility of the Holy Spirit of God being able to use you like he wants to use you. If you listen to spiritual songs, isn't that what it says? Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you listen to the right kind of music, it strengthens the spirit and gives you the spirit control of your life, and it allows you to have the power to crucify the flesh, the strength to crucify the flesh, and the Holy Spirit then has an opportunity to have dominion in your life and control of your life. And let me tell you, folks, I'm just reading it. It's all in black and white. Music plays a huge part in this whole process. Now let me go on. Quickly, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5 since we're just a book away. And let me give you point number 4. I needed to spend some time on point number 3. Let me mention point number 4. Spiritual music. I want you to notice again. I read a verse to our students today in our chapel service. It says, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. If you just grab you an every word Bible and read your devotions like every word is pure and really get this every word thing, you wouldn't just buzz by. You'd probably slow down and you might not do as much Bible reading, but it might be a lot more meaningful to you. Let me just challenge you to pray about that. Think about that. But again, let's revisit verse 19, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Number 4, spiritual music emphasizes the melody. Fleshly music emphasizes the beat. Spiritual music emphasizes the melody. Fleshly music emphasizes the beat. So where do you get that beat thing? Well, Exodus chapter 32, verse number 12. We just talked about that story. But from a long distance, they heard what sounded like the sound of war. Folks, a melody does not sound like a sound of war. Amen. A strong guttural beat sounds like a sound of war. Okay? Now, notice this verse here. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making what? Melody in your heart to the Lord. Very important that all of the music here, I'm talking about folks as you're preparing special music. I'm talking about as we sing congregational songs. I'm talking about in the classrooms. I'm talking about even on the buses. Listen, you ought to be singing songs that emphasizes the melody, because the melody, the melody and the emphasis of the melody is an identifying factor of spiritual music. And I'm going to identify and teach you what that means. Spiritual music. Spiritual music. Let's think about that just for a second. Spiritual music. Why does he say here, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymn, and spiritual songs? Now, folks, you just can't believe what's out there, but let me share this with you, and it's absolutely true. The people that are absolutely just sold out to this contemporary and Christian rock, they will argue to their death that music is neither good nor bad. It's neutral. That only, I mean, I had one of them tell me that you can pick any song that Kiss has ever sung, that Led Zeppelin's ever sung. You can take any music out there and put Christian words to it, and you sanctify it, and God can use it in a powerful way. They are and they are being taught this, by the way, in universities and in Bible colleges, that if I called their name, and I'm tempted to, you'd have a stroke. By a bunch of heathen music professors that have no business teaching in a Bible college. And they will walk and trample right over Exodus 32. And my question is a simple one. If all music and all songs, it doesn't matter the songs, the music, then why would God, if this book is important and that, and every word of God is pure, every word is important, why use the adjective spiritual?
Amen.
It's all good. Now, the reason that he uses that is because there are songs that minister to the spirit of a man and strengthen the spiritual life of a man. And there's songs and music that reinforce and excite and strengthen the carnality, the flesh of a man. And listen to me, you're not going to tell me that these two are going to hold hands. They're not. They're at war one against the other. You see. And so spiritual music emphasizes the melody. Fleshly music emphasizes the beat. Well, Brother Jerry, there's obvious spiritual music, and there's obvious, but there's all this stuff in the middle. One of the things you've got to listen to when you listen to a song is, do I hear prominently the melody? Is the melody the driving force behind this song? Now, folks, you can take Amazing Grace, and you can not change one note of the music, and you can perform it in a spiritual arrangement, or you could sing it in a carnal arrangement. And I've heard it sung in both. You can emphasize the melody or you can emphasize the beat. You can sing the purity of the melody or you can slur it up and down so much that it sounds like a nightclub singer down here at the bar singing it. You see, and so you got to be careful. And a lot of times, even good people, I mean good people, but the problem is they start listening to the wrong kind of music. And, you know, they kind of think that's cool the way everybody slides the notes and kind of, but folks, and it ends up having this sensual worldly thing to it that, listen, you can sit there and justify it, but all I know is that when I'm filled with the Spirit and I hear it, the Holy Spirit's kind of going, that ain't right. That's not strengthening me. That's not strengthening what I can do in your life. That's not strengthening your spirit. They're subtracting from what that song's supposed to do. They're subtracting from what that song is, a purpose of that song is in the lives of Christians. So you've got to be aware of these things and watch for these things. Spiritual music emphasizes the melody. Fleshly music emphasizes the beat. Now let me give you a fact here, and this is going to be a long one. If you're trying to take notes, good luck. Number five. Sell more tapes this way, man. They steal a whole dollar, is that right? Man, we're making bucks on that. I got to push these tapes, you know. Christian rockers Christian rockers. I don't mean... I mean... Let's talk about our senior saints ministry here. I'm Christian rock and rollers and others who attempt at marrying the gospel with fleshly music often defend their attempts by claiming to provide a stepping stone from the world's music to Christian music. Let me explain that statement. Let me say it again. People that want to defend it, Christian rockers, others who attempt at marrying the gospel with fleshly music, sometimes defend their attempts by claiming to provide a stepping stone from the world's music to Christian music. Let me tell you what they're saying. Okay, this kid gets saved, and he's used to listening to all this guttural music. So what we're going to do is we're going to provide him this middle-of-the-road stuff that he can start listening to, and then that way it'll be a stepping stone, and eventually he can learn to appreciate spiritual songs. But let me tell you what's happening. That stepping stone isn't being used nearly as much to go this way as it's being used by Christian young people to go that way. Because the same stepping stone that you've created, this middle ground that you want to defend, that you're saying will help somebody who's newly saved and introduce them to Christian words and maybe a little bit of toned down beat and hopefully move them on over. Although that's how they used to defend it. They don't even defend that. They say if you're here, you're right now. They don't even try to defend it, but it used to be the argument was it's a stepping stone. So here's a bunch of our Christian young people that's never had that junk in their life. All of a sudden, a bunch of people saying there's nothing wrong with it. So they get over here and they listen to this Christian music that has this worldly beat to it. They develop an appetite for that worldly beat. And next thing you know, they're all the way over here listening to all the junk of the world because they've developed an appetite, an acceptance for that in their life, and Satan brings them on down. Okay? The problem is that more often it is providing a stepping stone from Christian kids to go from spiritual music to the world's music. Number six, you cannot spend an hour. I'm just going to give you this. This is based on Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 17. You cannot spend an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours exciting the flesh, then claim to have something spiritual happen. Now you can tell me all the stories you want to tell me. I've had people tell me, Brother Jerry, you don't get it. You don't understand. I remember when they set up over here at Colmont Gym a few years back, and they had a big three or four Christian rock and roll bands come in. And what was, I think, even more blasphemous, I don't know if it is or not, to me it's the same, is that they even had a girls dancing praise troupe in there that had their midsection showing, a little more than a halter top on, skin tight pants on, and they're up there dancing and gyrating to this rock beat, supposedly praising the Lord. You know, it's amazing. They use one verse of Scripture where David, in taking the Ark of the Covenant, reclaiming it after being gone, comes into to Jerusalem. And the Bible says he danced before the Lord. I don't know how they married that verse and what was happening there to what was happening in the Colmont Gym, but I'm telling you, that's a stretch beyond anyone's imagination. So what did David do? Go put a halter top on, some tight jeans, and do the boogie woogie? No, he didn't. Mercy sakes. So there, that's a disturbing picture. I'm going to have to get that out of my mind. Wow. Should have never went there, brother. Amen. Wow. So then they want to do this, and then they want to have this go on for an hour and a half, and 2 hours. And man, I had heard write-ups in the paper and people defending it. And one lady told me 34 young people after doing that for I don't know how many hours at the end of it came forward, received Jesus Christ as their Savior. How dare you criticize something like that? People are getting saved, and it does work, and Okay, then just go to Galatians chapter 5 and rip those pages out because God didn't know what he was talking about. The Spirit doesn't war against the flesh. Excuse me, I guess I was wrong. Me and God. Let me apologize for both of us. They don't war against each other. They can work in tandem. They can hold hands and do the waltz. No, they can't. No, they can't. According to the Bible, they cannot. Listen, folks, the Spirit of God didn't come down in Exodus chapter 32 and revival break out. A man of God came down and put an end to it and straightened the mess out. That's what happened. You can tell me about all the numbers you want to tell me. You can tell me about all the public professions you want to tell me about. I'm telling you that you are not going to spend 2 or 3 hours exciting a bunch of hormone-driven young people, and all of a sudden, the end of it, you're going to have a 15-minute gospel or 10-minute gospel testimony, and the aisles are going to flood, and the Holy Spirit's going to come down in power, and man alive, we have another Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 1 and 2 after they sequestered themselves away for 10 days on their face confessing their sins, not spending 2 or 3 hours practicing sin. So let them say what they want to. I've had them argue, and I'm telling me this, and you say whatever you want to. One lady tell me, well, brother, if you'd been there, you'd have known. You could feel the Spirit. You could feel the Spirit. I said, well, what's his first name? What do you mean, what's his first? So I asked her, what's his first name? What do you mean, what's his first name? The Spirit. I mean, there's all kinds of spirits. The Bible says try the spirits. There's no doubt there were spirits going on over there. No doubt in my mind there were spirits active over there. But you better try the Spirit. What's his first name? You know, the Spirit has a first name. So I'm waiting. What's his name? What's his name, church? Now go in there and show me what is going on that's holy. Bro, I don't know what spirit was doing what over there, but it wasn't a Holy Spirit. By the way, your Bible has a first name too. And our God has a first name. And we're supposed to be working real hard at trying to have that same first name. Amen. I fall short, amen. But that don't mean we're supposed to give in. That don't mean we're supposed to start okaying a bunch of junk. Okay, so remember that. Number 7, we're done here. Every Christian, I'm going to get back to this. This will introduce what we're going to talk about next week. But every Christian is commanded to sing praises to the Lord. Psalms 100. Just write that reference down. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's for Pastor Jerry and several of the men in this church. Amen. Well, I can't sing. Just make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with. We ought to sing. By the way, singing. And I wanted to lay that Bible principles down. And I hear it is Wednesday night, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. Besides maybe a handful of new converts, this ought to be elementary level stuff. But let me just share this with you. There's a lot of victories being had in Christian's life by the devil that would stop if you fixed the music situation. Okay, well, Brother Jerry, I like it. I'm going to tell you something. So do I. There's a part of me that likes all that junk out there. Well, not all of it. There's some of it still revolting. I had to work on my carnality to appreciate some of it. But you know, your flesh, yeah, there's certain things your flesh likes. Certain things my flesh likes too. But not everything the flesh likes is good. And good for you. You know, if we didn't have the fleshly desire, the fleshly appetite, the devil wouldn't be able to get anywhere with us. The reason he can get us involved in it is because we have an old Adamic nature. The old man still lives, and the old man still likes carnality. But folks, listen to me. Every Christian is commanded to sing praises to the Lord. Now, I'm going to start next week and talk to you about using music and how we use music and some ideas of using music here as a discipleship tool. And I want to explain to you what's going on around here so that you have more of a depth of understanding about how important a role music plays in developing and strengthening Christians at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this. But let me end by saying this again. Number 7, every Christian is commanded to sing praises to the Lord. And if you would take care of what we've talked about tonight between now and next Wednesday, it would sure allow me to have a lot better chance in going on and teaching a junior high level course if we could get rid of some of the elementary stuff that we should have learned a long time ago. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us. And Lord, it's a battle. We all have a battle. Romans chapter 7, I think the greatest missionary in the world, he was transparent enough to talk about the battle that rages within him, rages within us all. The old man, the new nature, the flesh versus the spirit. Lord, so many times we, if we're not careful, walk in the flesh, and then we cannot do the things, as Galatians chapter 5 says, we cannot do the things we would. Flesh cripples the spirits, not the Holy Spirit, but our spirit, to the point where the Holy Spirit can't communicate, can't empower, can't do the things he's trying to do in our lives. So I pray that you'd help us.